bless you this morning. And we are going to continue in our series of lessons as we go make our way through the Bible. Our lesson for this morning is Jacob escapes and Jacob returns. Our text for the morning is Genesis chapter 31, verse 43 through 49, which reads as follows. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these daughters or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. And Laban called it Jegasadutia, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore its name was called Galeed and Mizpah, for he said, "The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another." God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you very much for coming here to the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson and our walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for coming to church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on these principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. In our last lesson, Jacob completed the 14 years of service to Laban, required to pay for Jacob's marriage to Laban's two daughters. And then Jacob and Laban made an agreement that Jacob would continue shepherding Laban's flock in return for the possession of all of the sheep in the flock that were discolored in some way. Although none of the sheep of the flock were discolored when the agreement began, Jacob was able to chemically affect the water supply from which the female sheep drank when they were in heat to make them bear lambs which were discolored. Jacob was so successful manipulating the water supply that in 6 years, the majority of the herd belonged to him rather than to Laban. And as you could imagine, there was some fallout from Jacob's success. Genesis chapter 31, verse 1 through 21 tells us, "Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, 'Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth.' And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.' So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock and said to them, 'I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, 'The speckle shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, 'The streak shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And as it happened, at the time when the flocks conceived, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift up your eyes now and see, All the rams which leap on the flock are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us, and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols which were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. So Jacob and his family fled from Laban, following the admonition of the Lord. Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife, stole the idols that her father kept in his house and took them with her. Laban was, no doubt, a worshiper of the fertility gods of the Mesopotamians, and Rachel probably took the idols hoping to enhance her own personal fertility, as she had been barren and, of all of Jacob's wives, had the fewest children. When Laban found out that Jacob left the area, Laban pursued Jacob, and while he was chasing Jacob, Laban was warned by God to not do Jacob any harm. So Laban caught Jacob and confronted him. Genesis chapter 31, verse 26 and then 29 to 32 tells us, And Laban said to Jacob, What have you done, that you have stolen away unknown to me, and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Now you have surely gone because you greatly longed for your father's house, but why did you steal my God? Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, Because I was afraid, for I said, Perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. But with whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. But Rachel was able to successfully hide her father's idol from his detection, so Laban could not prove his claim that Jacob was a thief. That which Jacob had taken rightly belonged to Jacob, and Laban did not want to start a war with Jacob over Jacob's own possessions, especially because Laban had been warned by God not to do so. Jacob and Laban made the covenant that we read in our text for the morning, Genesis 31, 43 through 49, and Jacob agreed to treat Laban's daughters well. Laban kissed his daughters and his grandchildren and returned to his land. And Jacob headed back to Canaan, with the wealth and the family that he had gained from Laban. Now Jacob obtained a large family and became prosperous without any assistance from his father Isaac. It was not necessary for Jacob to purchase Esau's birthright, and it was certainly not necessary for Jacob to steal Esau's blessing. Now before Jacob and Esau's birth, Rebekah received the prophecy recorded in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, And the Lord said to her, Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. God said, The older shall serve the younger. The word shall in this sentence is what grammarians call a state of being verb, meaning that shall declares a state of being, the way that something truly is, the objective truth of something. That which God declares is the objective truth, the way that things actually are. So once God declared to Rebekah that the older would serve the younger, Esau had no chance to rule over Jacob. Now, regardless of our thoughts about that which God says, God's word is true. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 tells us, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged." So now, as we study the scriptures, the declarative statements given by God will tell us the truth of how things actually are. An example would be John chapter 14, verse 6, which says, "I am," in which Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now understand that this statement declares that faith in Jesus Christ is the one and only way for human beings to come to the Father, and that there is no alternative method to get to the kingdom of God. Understand that your personal belief about the situation does not change the truth of Jesus' statement. You can decide that there is an alternative to the simple declarative statement of John 14 and 6 and develop all kinds of theories of what alternatives might be and how you can implement the alternatives in your life. You may decide that the Bible is just a book of myths written by the white man, that Jesus is a figment of someone's imagination, and then if you can do enough things right, you can make it into heaven on your own merit. You may decide that an angel spoke to Joseph Smith and told him to write the Book of Mormon with an alternative set of ways to get to heaven other than faith in Jesus Christ. You may decide that an angel spoke to a group of men in the Watchtower Society in New York City and told them to write the New World Translation of the Bible in contradiction to the King James Bible, with the stipulation that only 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses who are members of the Kingdom Hall will get into heaven. You may decide that an angel spoke to Muhammad and told him to write the Quran with an alternate set of ways to get into heaven other than faith in Jesus Christ. You may decide that the Buddha is correct and that there is no heaven, that you will be reincarnated over and over again until you live life well enough to enter the stream of eternal consciousness. Your opinions notwithstanding, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead physically and delegated all power in heaven and earth to him. Jesus will be the judge on judgment day, and no one will come to the Father unless he has faith in the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. God decided to inspire holy men to write the Bible for our edification, that he might reveal his nature to us, that we might understand how to please him by keeping his commandments. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 makes it clear, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So whether or not you choose to believe in the Book of Mormon, the New World Translation done by the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Quran, or the Vedas, your belief does not change the facts, and the fact is that the Bible is the divinely inspired written word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 makes it clear that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Note that the verse says, all Scripture is. Is also a state of being verb, meaning that this is the objective truth of God. You can argue with God or dislike his position, but your argument in no way affects the way that it is. Now, Rebekah's scheming neither helped the prophecy about Jacob come true, nor kept the prophecy from coming true. God never needs the help of sin to make his word come true. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 clarifies, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Now, that we understand the relationship of God to his word, let us go back to the episode of the return of Jacob to Canaan. As Jacob approached his homeland, he decided to send a delegation to Esau to make peace. The delegation brought Jacob an answer from Esau that was not comforting. Genesis chapter 32, verse 3 through 8 tells us, "Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Speak thus to my lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape." Now when Jacob left Esau, Esau was a hunter. During Jacob's 20 years absence, Esau has become the leader of an army. And although Jacob was rich in cattle, he was no match for an army. So Jacob did what any believer in God would do in that situation. He began to pray. Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 through 12 records, "Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown to your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well, and will make your descendants as the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Now, after praying, Jacob prepared a large gift of cattle to appease Esau and commanded his servants to ride on ahead of him with the gift. Jacob then divided his company into four parts, putting the families of each of his slave wives in front, and then Leah's family, and finally Rachel's family bringing up the rear. He took the families across the river and then returned to the other side of the river to seek God once again to entreat him for protection from Esau. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestles with him till the breaking of day." Now, who was this man? We get a better description of the man from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15 says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So Jacob found himself wrestling with the commander of the army of the Lord. The word that we translate wrestling actually means stirring up dust, as men would do if they were grappling in the dirt. Now, the remainder of the Genesis passage is written as though there was a physical conflict between Jacob and the commander of the angel of the army of the Lord, but I doubt that that was true. In the New Testament, we see a parallel conflict. In the same way that Jacob was wrestling with the commander of the army of the Lord for the ability to face Esau, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane wrestling with the Father for the ability to face the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 46 describes, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, Sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So Jesus goes back, struggling in prayer with God three times, while in between his struggles, he admonishes his disciples to struggle as well. As Jesus admonished the disciples, Paul admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, although we are called to wrestle, Ephesians 6 only gives us one admonition that actually involves our activity. Ephesians 6 describes the armor that we are to put on, but describes our activity in Ephesians 6:18, which says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So wrestling in prayer describes Jesus' experience in Gethsemane, and it also describes that which Paul admonishes us to do in Ephesians 6. We may never be able to visualize the commander of the army of the Lord as our ally, as did Jacob and Joshua, but we are still called to struggle against the wiles of the devil by prayer. Our offensive weapon described in Ephesians 6:17 is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can look at Jacob's prayer in Genesis 32:9-12 and see that Jacob refers to the fact that God told him to return to Canaan in verse 9, and that God told him he would treat Jacob well in verse 12. So while Jacob was wrestling, I do not think that this was a physical fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 tells us, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So now, as we wrestle with our sin nature in order to behave in a manner that pleases God, the weapons of our struggle are the Word of God and prayer. Jacob prepared his material possessions as best he could, but Jacob was no more able to conquer Esau and his 400 men than we are able to conquer the kingdom of heaven. Just as Jacob's only chance to pass Esau and enter Canaan in peace was to pray until he enlisted God as his ally, our only chance to pass through this life and enter the kingdom of God is to pray to receive Jesus Christ as our ally. And fortunately, Jacob's prayer was answered. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, 28, 30, 31, 1 through 5, 8 through 11 tells us, Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, What is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" And he said, "Those are to find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And Jacob said, "No, please. If I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I have seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." So he urged him, and he took it. So Jacob's name was changed to Israel, which means Prince with God, because of Jacob's struggles with God and man. Jacob, by the aid of God, overcame the trickster Laban and the warrior Esau. Jacob overcame impossible obstacles because of God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, as Ephesians 3:20 tells us. So let us live our lives for the glory of God, that we might be able to draw on his power as we do his work and his will in his way, that his kingdom might come, and that his will might be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And let us conclude our lesson for today by quoting the 46th Psalm, which describes the power of God upon which Jacob called. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its water roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." So let us live our lives daily in the confident assurance and power and mercy of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and call upon the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the stories of Jacob as he is rejoined with his brother Esau. Now, Lord, as we go down from this place today, help us to remember that you are with us, that you are our very present help in time of trouble. Help us to be not dismayed, whatever betide, for we know that you take care of us. Let us remember your word. Let us study it. Let us hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. And let us pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that we might be able to call on you in the hour of trouble, for we know that you will come to our aid and come to our comfort. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that are in the house. We ask that you would let this lesson go sink deep into their hearts, that they might remember the power of prayer in the hour of trouble. Give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place, and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your witness, wisdom, for your goodness, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and thank God.
But you are the living word.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have allowed us to come out to your house once again, that you have given us this this forum, this place that we can come and deal with the truth of your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us That we might be able to understand that which you have given us. Give us the tools that we need, that we might be able to parse your word, that we might be able to understand it, that we might be able to come to the right conclusion. And then once we understand it, Lord, help us to do those things that your word commands us to do, that we might be pleasing in your sight. Now, Lord, we're praying for Brother Rick and for those whom he has put on the list as concerns. We're asking you that you would bless in the case of medical situations, and that you would give the young people that are on that list a good mind. Help them to make good decisions. Root them and ground them in your word, that when they get ready to make those life decisions, that they would consider what your word has to say and align their lives with your instructions for them. And we thank you that he is diligent as he comes to be with us week after week. And we pray, Lord, for Sister Allen and for those whom she has asked us to pray for. The list of names is longer. We're praying for, especially for Sister Alice Harris, who has been given a feeding tube in Detroit. And we're asking you today that you would bless her, Lord, that you would give her a right mind. Be a heart fixer and a mind regulator in her case, that she might be able to sustain herself and not be weaned off of that tube. Lord, we pray for Brother Jim Shaw in especially, as he's had heart surgery this week. We ask you that you would allow him to continue to recover from that successful surgery. We thank you that the doctor had the skill to take care of that problem. And we ask you that you would continue to be in his life, bring him back to a full recovery, that he might have a glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Pray for Sister Artis, Lord, and we ask you that you would guide her mind as she has a myriad of things to do. Lord, we know that stress is caused just by being too busy. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help her as she has that too busy condition to look at some of the things that she's doing, and that you would guide her as she has to decide which things can be done and which things may not be able to be done. And we ask you that you give her wisdom, that she might be able to recalibrate and re-equalize her life, and that she give her rest and relaxation, that she might be able to recover from that condition. Pray for the store, Lord, for Jamisha's Ruffles and Lace. We ask that you bless them with customers, with business, and allow those dresses and suits to move. And we ask you, Lord, that you bless Sister Allen, keep her safe and keep her strong as she goes to and fro doing the things that the Lord, that you call upon her to do. And Lord, we're praying for JJ. We ask that you bless that ankle, that you would bring it back to 100%, that you would keep him in a state of mind where he can recover, give him the patience that he needs, that he might be able to sit and wait until his ankle, his swelling goes down and all of the things heal. And then, Lord, as it heals, we ask you that you let everything heal straight, let all the bones be properly aligned, let all the ligaments and the tendons fall back in their proper place, so that he will be restored to his full usefulness of that, and we thank you for it, Lord. Also pray for Janelle. We ask you to bless her as she is enjoying her summer here in Lansing, and give her that which she desires to do, that she might spend her time gainfully while she's home from college. Pray, Lord, for the McClures. We ask you to bless them as well. Help them as they raise their children in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they will not depart from it. Lord, we pray for Howard and Carolyn and Helen, for Brother Darius, Lord, and we ask you that you will let him have a wonderful summer as he's here, enjoying life with his family for a few weeks until he goes back to Pennsylvania. Lord, we ask you that you would guide his mind, let him occupy himself with things that will be of benefit to him, that when he returns, he might have his mind regulated for school and ready to get back into that which is going on there in Pennsylvania, given we just anticipate his trip. And we ask you for traveling mercies as they travel the highway to go there in a few weeks, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray for those who my wife is concerned with. We thank you that her mother is here. We ask you that you would help us to have a wonderful holiday. We thank you that Paul is here, and ask you to continue to help him to have a wonderful holiday as well, and bless their individual efforts as they work or are retired or do whatever they're doing, so that they can enjoy life in this realm. We're praying for Mother Jones. We ask you that you would continue to recover her, let her hang on for those last few days, and then give her a glorious retirement. And as we asked on Tuesday, give us a way to find something that she might be able to do in her retirement, that she might be able to keep her hand into her craft and help some young people with it. We pray for Mehdi, who's working hard, and we ask you that you would bless her. We thank you that Sister Howenstein has made her decision about her location. We ask you, Lord, that you would give her peace about that, that she might be able live with that decision, that her family might be able to live with it, that they might all grow closer together, because this thing is off the burner. We just ask you that you'd bless her, Lord. We're praying for Jakara as she's looking around for something to do, and we're asking you that you would give her grace as she goes from place to place seeking employment, and let someone have a profitable position for a graduate of Florida A&M. And we just ask you that they would meet one another swiftly, that she might be secure in what she is going to try to do. And Lord, we're praying for our television stage, for a television program on Tuesday night, for Betty Carter Cooney. We're praying for Brother George and for Brother and Sister Conroy. Lord, continue to strengthen her as she waits for that knee replacement surgery. Give her that which she stands in need of as she prepares for that situation. Also praying for Aunt Naomi, Lord, and I ask you that you would allow the doctors to figure out and to cure whatever her problem might happen to be, that you would take that tiredness and that shortness of breath away, and that you would deal with her situation. Also praying for Dad. He's got a cold in Chicago, that you would give him the strength to recover. Let him eat the things and drink the things that will bring recovery to his body, and we thank you for him as well. We also pray for Brother McGill, that's in St. Lawrence Hospital, and we ask you that you would continue to strengthen him. We talked to his wife, and she said he's progressing. And so we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to let him progress, that they might be able to one day soon relieve him from the hospital, and he might be able to go home, and they might be able to enjoy life together once again. Pray for the Perkins, Lord, their family that's up here in Michigan this week, and we ask you that you would give them a wonderful visit. Allow them to spend time with their in-laws and all that they have to spend time with. Let the children be spoiled by their grandparents for just a few days before they have to make that trek back to Louisiana. And we ask you that you give him traveling mercies as he heads back in that direction in a week or so, Lord. And we pray for all that he's asked us to pray for. Also praying for Brother Northern as he thinks about his move from Louisiana to North Carolina. And we ask you that you would bless him, Lord, as he works on his new businesses and contemplates his move. Give him wisdom as he goes forward with him, and him bless his family as well. Pray for the Fullers, Lord. We ask you that you would continue to bless them, for Sister Morgan and for Brother and Sister Webb, Lord. We ask that you would give them wisdom and knowledge, that they might be able to live together in unity and harmony. And we thank you for it, Lord. Now we pray for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for the general action of our armed forces overseas, for the young men and women in our neighborhood, and for the salvation of our family and our friends. Lord, we're praying for Brother Pollard and Sister Johnson. We thank you that they've stopped in today to hear what it is that we have to say. And we ask you, Lord, that you would guide them and direct them in the way that they should go. Let the message sink into their heart and allow them, Lord, to stay close to you, Lord, as they live their lives, as they continue on. We pray for Brother Lee, and we ask you that you'd bless him and his family, Lord, that you would let the folk downtown treat him in the way that they would want to be treated. And we ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless his sons, give his youngest son a good last few days in school, and as we have already prayed for his oldest son, that you would give him a good vacation here at home before he returns back to Pennsylvania. Pray for the McClures once again, Lord. Give them the blessing that you know that they stand in need of. Let that garage door be fixed, and that they might be able to get out of the garage when they get ready to go somewhere, Lord. And we also pray that you would bless them as they are taking care of those children. Give them guidance and give them direction. Give them the right thing to say and the right thing to do, that they might be able to raise them in the way that they should go. Pray for Sister Allen. Bless her and all that she does as she carries around her grandchildren. And we just ask you that you would just bless her. Give her strength. Give her the strength that she needs. Help her to continue to recover from her condition, and just stand with her as she goes to and fro, doing your work and your will in your way. Praying for Janelle as well. Bless her once again, Lord. And praying for Paul. We ask you that you would keep him safe on the dangerous highway as he goes up and down. We ask you that you would bless his car, that it might not have any mechanical problems. We ask that you would bless his clients, that they might be pleased with the work that he does and recommends him to others. We ask you to bless his business, that they might be able to grow and continue to prosper. pray for Rick, Lord, and we ask you that you'd give him a good interview on Wednesday. Help him to go into the interview with the right mindset, with the right word. Let the man who interviews him be impressed by what it is that he has to say, Lord. And we ask you that you would bless him in all that he does, that he might be able to be gainfully employed and continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank you for my mother-in-law who's in town this weekend. We thank you for the stabilizing influence that she has been in our lives, and we ask you that you would continue to keep her safe as she travels up and down the dangerous highway. Let the car continue to run in great order. Let all things go well with her, and when she returns home, let her find things even as they were when she left them. Bless her in all that she does, and those ladies at the center and at the church, we ask you to bless them as well, that they might all have a great time with one another. And I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life, and I ask you that you would bless her. Continue to let her be an influential person in the lives of all whom she comes into contact with. Help her to guide them and direct them in the way that they should go. Well, now, Lord, we thank you for the place that you've given us here, that we might be able to talk about and enjoy your word and one another. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless us in all that we do here. Thank you for all these things, Lord, and we just want you to know that we love you because you first loved us. Well, now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God, and praise God. Jacob and Esau got together because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go down from this place this week, let us remember in all of our encounters with people, be they positive or be they potentially negative, let us remember the power of prayer and the grace of God as we may have to go into a situation that does not seem as though it will be a good outcome. But we know that God has all power and that he can do anything. And we know that that's true because early one Sunday morning, Jesus Christ rose from the dead physically and had all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And if God can conquer death through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he can certainly solve any problem that we might have. So we thank God for Jesus as we remember what he did for us. And let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest with and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.